How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour with your hosts. I'm Chris.
And Jonathan.
How you guys doing tonight? Just finished checking out the game that just happened. Spurs won 121-11 over Oklahoma City. Great shootout. Where are we going to start? Tony Parker, 34 points, 16-21.
We got to start with TP. 16-21 is that's ridiculous. I mean, he was just all over the place tonight. He was hitting from all over the place. He was getting teammates involved. I mean, Duncan didn't have the best game, but as you see, it just goes to prove, like I said last time, just shows how deep they are. Kawhi Leonard had a double-double, almost put up 20 and 10. You know, Tiago Splitter came up, even though they were trying to hack him like they used to do to Shaq. He still, you know, he made half his free throws, so that really didn't make a difference. Spurs are just rolling, man. 20 games in a row. 20 games in a row is, yeah. They're, like I said, they're a whole different machine this year, so I'm calling it now. I'm calling it now for everybody to hear. I stated first. Y'all heard me first. Spurs winning title. No questions asked. They won. I concede.
Yeah, I'm glad you're that confident. I would like to say that they're going to win. I mean, being a Spurs fan, they rolling. If they keep playing like this, I mean, they hot. And it feels weird for people just to all of a sudden start giving love to the Spurs. Like, oh, they predicting them. Like, they're the best team in the league. And almost sound like they're going to win a championship. It's like, wow, are y'all really saying that? Like, all these people was burying the Spurs, and now it's like, you know, they're the best team in the league, in the playoffs, which they are. Duncan didn't have the best game, but, I mean, 11, 12, 6 assists, 4 blocks, playing great defense.
Balling. Looking at stats that they're showing on TNT, they're talking about Tony Parker right now. Joined the club of players with 30 points, 8 assists, and shot 75% of the playoffs. I mean, my goodness gracious.
He was killing, man. I mean, they executed great. I mean, I don't understand why people just crap on the Spurs like they're boring or they're not fun to watch. I mean, it was ugly back in the day a little bit, just grinded out 80-point games. But, I mean, come – Parker just kills in the lane. If you like ball movement, if you like everybody touch, if you like team basketball, stars stepping up and just everybody's involved, I mean, that's what it is.
Yep.
You know, if you want the – you know, from the city, if you want – everything is either Lob City or it's I'm going to have my superstar shoot 40 times and he's going to win us the game.
And this team is the true definition of a team. I mean, you can see all the times they have won championships, it's been a team effort. So, I mean, this team, you know, with Greg Popovich, they are the definition of a team, man. They're deep. Their bench plays well. They got veterans on the team. You know, Tim Duncan has taken his time, you know, and he stepped aside and let Tony Parker be the main man on the team. And you know what? All egos aside on this team. I mean, that's how you play and that's how you win. You got to put your egos aside. Tim Duncan is arguably the best power forward to ever play the game. And, you know, for him, he easily could have been like, you know what? No, I still want to be that dude. I want to be the number one guy. This is my team, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Throughout his whole career, he's just been one of those dudes that he's very humble. He doesn't take all the love. You know, he passes it out to his teammates. And, you know, he was humble enough to step aside and let Tony Parker become the leader of the team, the new leader of the team. So, I mean,
man, they
on their way to another title. Will that be 5 for Duncan? 4 or 5?
Yeah, 5 for Duncan, 4 for Ginobili Parker.
He'd be tied with Kobe.
Yep. And probably would have a better chance of winning number 6. But we ain't. Yeah. I'm not going to get ahead and jinx myself. Let's see, Oklahoma City, first time they scored over 100 points in the playoffs and lost. Kevin Durant had a great game.
Had a great game.
5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 10-17, made all 8 of his free throws, even 3-for-4 from the 3-point line.
All I got to say is, look, you had pretty much all three, your big three pretty much all hit almost 30 points. And it's like, you still lost. That goes to show you just how deep and how good the Spurs are. It's unbelievable what they've been able to do this year. You know, I know a lot of people will be like, well, it was a shortened season. And, you know, they just so happen to be the team that won championship in the last shortened season. So, I mean, you know, Greg Popovich knows how to coach his team. He's got this team rolling. I mean, like I said, folks, they have won 20 freaking games in a row. This is just not a coincidence. This team is good. They are really good. And any team that plays them, you have to bring your A game or you getting your ass kicked.
Come on, they shoot 55% from the field, 42% from three. You can't let a team win like that. And I mean, yeah, like you said, well, Oklahoma City, three of the guys, the three big stepped up, and they got nothing. Derek Fisher, 2 of 11. Perkins, 1 of 5. 5 rebounds, 4 turnovers.
That's where your depth got to come in. That's where your role players got to step up, man. And that's why I'm always been saying role players are the key to winning championships. You can have your stars, but if your role players aren't performing, you're not going to win. Prime example.
True that. And all the Spurs did really was just make sure they won their two games at home. They did what they're supposed to do. They handle business at home. Game three is going to be major. I think Oklahoma City found something to work with playing Ibaka at the five and just going small, maybe even either having Fisher or Cephalosha out there. I mean, that's how they cut it now. Ibaka with the shot blocker and all that length and athleticism. It's going to be tough. They're going home.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City's great at home. They're going to be fired up. I mean, the building's going to be crazy. And I just want to win one. Oh,
they're going to win one at Oklahoma City. I'm going on record. I'm calling it. Spurs going to win in five. They'll lose one in OKC. I think it's going to be game three just because the points you just made. OKC is going to be pumped up. It's their first game at home in this round. So the fans going to be pumped. So they're down 0-2. Excuse me. So, I mean, this pretty much is a must-win game. If they don't win this one, then they're really done. But I think they'll come out and win this one. I think it'll be close. But in the end, Spurs are going to win in five. They'll win. They'll come back to San Antonio and just close it out at home.
Okay.
I mean,
so for those fans, what do you think Oklahoma City have to do to at least win game three? Because once you win game three, you get that win. You know, every game is different. Every game changes everything. Now the pressure's on Oklahoma City. What do they need to focus on?
Game one, they got their asses kicked. Game two, they found a little bit, I think, of a little bit of a formula to do some kind of damage to the Spurs. I mean, you know, like the point you made with Ibaka at the five and going a little small. I think that worked a little bit more to their advantage. You saw it towards the end of the game. They started coming back a little bit when they had that lineup in. So I honestly think Scott Brooks might make some lineup changes, and, you know, he might go long periods and stretches of time with, you know, Serge Ibaka at the five and then, you know, playing small ball. I mean, the Spurs, unfortunately for Oklahoma City, Spurs have too much length, man. They have too much size. I mean, you look at all their fours and all their centers, they have size. And a lot of people underestimate their size. You got Tim Duncan, who's 7 feet. You got Splitter, who's 7 feet. You got Dwan Blair, even though he ain't even playing, he's 6'9". You got Kawhi Leonard, who's 6'8", 6'7". Then you got who else? Who you got?
I mean, you got Danny
or,
Green.
Yeah,
you got length.
6'9". You got Steven Jackson, who's like 6'8". They have length, dude. And then you got the little quick guard. So I mean, there's nothing really Oklahoma City can do to really pull this out. Like I've been saying, and I'm saying it again, Spurs are a different beast.
Yeah, but they have some work to do. I mean, the role players are definitely have to step up. I mean, I'm sure they will being at home. He's probably going to have to, outside of when the Spurs go big, he's probably going to have to just play either Ibaka or Perkins or Collison, but not all two of them at the same time. That's not going to work. And they have to play better defense for longer periods of time. I mean, that shot where Tony Parker was wide open for like 10 seconds, you just let this fool just wipe his nose, wipe the sweat off his face, and take it.
You can't give an NBA player 15 seconds to just set up for a shot. He's going to make it. I mean, that's just that simple.
Do you know what would have happened if that happened on the Spurs? I mean, like, get your ass over here. Sit down.
Popovich would chew them out. And that's why Popovich is the coach that he is. He's a no-nonsense, take-no-shit coach.
Yeah, because he went at Tony Parker. Even like, it don't matter. It don't matter who you are. If you make a mistake, I'm letting you know.
Egos aside, that's the only way you're going to win.
Hey, and for those out there who probably don't agree with me and may even hate, and you know, because we give Phil Jackson love, I'm going to be honest. If I'm putting a team together, a championship team, and I have to pick a coach, I'm picking Popovich over Phil Jackson. I am.
Ooh.
I mean, Phil Jackson got all the rings, but come on. You honestly think that Phil Jackson is – what do you think if Phil Jackson had Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, Gary Neal on his team, how much time would they get? Zip. Because they're not veterans. He don't play them at all. He don't develop dudes like that.
I mean, yeah, that's always pretty much been the one knock on Phil, is that he really doesn't like going with young dudes. He likes going with the veterans. He doesn't really develop them much. And I mean, in my opinion, that probably is what led to his downfall with the Lakers. I mean, you see where they are now. They're old. You know, they had all those veterans that he wanted, and now you really don't have any young dudes. You traded away all your picks to get veterans, and now you got nothing. Sacrificed the future for the present, and now the present's over. So,
yeah, that's why he's the reigning coach of the year, and Phil is kicking it and doing something else. But yeah, I agree. I think we'll see what happens. Game three, Thursday. They're just keeping them back to back, but Spurs are looking hot. Oklahoma City, they're not dead yet.
Nah, not yet.
But they better do something.
They will be soon.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. You're listening to the Brothers Landon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
You know everything that you about, so try another route. Paper boy, you can't destroy what we done built. Pick on somebody your own size and fuck around, get killed. But not like the kilt above the knees. BB, we'll plant your nigga like Caesar, fertilizer for the trees. Emergency vehicle, last thing speeding from the scene, nigga. Take one for the team, now he bleeding from the spleen. Stay so fresh and oh, so motherfucking clean. No blood spatter or evidence, long distance with a beam. We come in peace, but some of y'all niggas come in three. Gluttons fucking up the gang like ice, heroin, or speed. Slow down, nigga. Yeah. Yeah. Like Ballad of Ricky Bobby, boy, go fast. Not a hobby, this my life, you disrespect it, that's your ass. As one half of the outcast return like Ghost of Christmas Past. It's the son of Chico Dusty, must be West Savannah Band. Had to go to church on Sunday with great grandma and granddad. Taught me always follow Jesus when the grass didn't have a path. If I ever fell astray, then God would get me back on track. Didn't say that Rico Reagan Pat was getting with me and three stacks. Then we spitting, cause we killing everything that we attack. Special forces of the rap game, so you best take heat.
Welcome back to the Brothers Landon Sports Happy Hour. Thanks for checking us out. If you guys want to hit us up, let us know what you're thinking. Give us your take on how the playoffs are going to go. Email us at thebrotherslandon@gmail.com. You can also find our podcast at www.blackisonline.com.
Check it out. Hit us up. We take all opinions, good, bad, indifferent. Doesn't matter. Love it. We will acknowledge you, too. You want to hit us back, hit us up on the email. We'll hit you right back with our comments as well. So
now over to the East. Miami's
East
up.
Side.
1-0 on old looking Boston.
And you know what? I feel kind of dumb. I called telling everybody yesterday Boston's going to come out and whoop Miami's ass, and they laid an egg for me.
Dude, I mean, did they? They just wasn't prominent or not. That prominent yesterday.
You know what? LeBron, man, I got to give much love to LeBron. I mean, he is finally balling like I thought this man could. I mean, this last stretch of just games he's been in, going from game four against Indiana till last night's game, the man's been on an absolute tear. I don't know what the hell juice he's been drinking, but he looks like a completely different player. He's been taking it to the rack. He's been clutch a little bit. So I gotta back off LeBron a little bit. You know, I called him a little soft the last time, but LeBron's starting to, you know, he's handling his business. So much love to LeBron. D-Wade's also stepping his game up since that boo-boo game he threw up at Indiana. He's been on a tear, too. They finally found a niche with Chris Bosh out. So if they can keep it up, you know, they'll looks like they'll be playing the Spurs in the championship, and that'll be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, for all the crap we were talking, and I was talking crap, and I did not want to see LeBron and D-Wade playing on the same team, because I wanted to see them go at each other. This is why they were like, let's hook the hell up. For this reason.
Fine.
Now, I mean, if both of these dudes is going to put up 35-4, like damn near 35-5-5, and then we're going to switch off on 40-point games. I mean, damn.
Right.
Like, ever since that game, they just been, like, balling, unstoppable. It's almost like you just – this is what – when everybody was picking them to just be hot and all that, this is what it was. Just get them to the rock. They'll figure it out. And who you going to stop? Neither one of them. Like, is one of these dudes going to have, like, under 20 points? Maybe tomorrow. But, damn.
You know what? If Boston can – if Boston can step their D up, I mean, Doc Rivers, you know they got their asses chewed out after last night's game. I mean, Kevin Garnett put up a decent game. Rondo was in.
Paul Pierce didn't have a butt game. Kevin Garnett is balling. Kevin Garnett has been stepping the hell up. He and Tim Duncan, like, where that time machine at? And, like, we just going to play from, like, 5 years ago and just beast. Well, Paul Pierce was non-existent. Ray Allen's hurting my feelings, man.
This is the end of the road, like Boyz II Men said. This is it. He is he's done after this year, man. I already read Doc Rivers talking about sitting in one of these games just because. I mean, hurt.
He ain't always been hurt.
He's just been banged up.
They can't. But they all been banged up. You know, Avery Bradley killing.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Garnett been having to play center. Neal got hurt. But Ray Allen, he's not himself.
You see,
when he went up for them, he had three free throws and missed two up. He's looking. Ray Allen is shooting like, I need to look that up. He is shooting like some boo-boo percentage.
Is going to have to shut him down because.
He can't.
I think he's done.
He's not going to. He said he's not. He said he went with the training staff and
he got it out. He can come back play next year if he wants to, but in my opinion, he's done. This is the end of the road.
Yeah, but you take his ass on the Bulls for sure. Well, next year don't matter because Derrick Rose ain't gonna be there.
Yeah, but we got CJ Watson and Rip Hamilton.
I digress. I mean. You know, the role players from Miami are finally starting to step up and do some things.
About time.
Yeah, 10 rebounds for Shane Battier.
Jeez Louise.
You know, Ronnie Turioff was never a bad pickup. I was not mad at that at all. Chalmers has done his thing. Mike Miller's showing some life. We was just crabbing on Mike Miller. He trying to pull it back.
One game ain't impressing me.
He played like that in game 6. He's finding a rhythm. I'll give him that. He's finding a rhythm, spreading the floor.
Chalmers has been the dude for me. He's been stepping his game up. You know, he's been proving that he can possibly be the starting guard of the future, starting point guard. So, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. So, is there anything – what can Boston do for game 2? I mean, game 2, they pretty much play like ass. You know, what do you think Doc's telling them to do for game 2, how to come out?
I mean, they're going to just have to come out firing. There's nothing else they can do. They're old. They freaking had to go to game 7 in, what, both series? They're tired. I mean, in all honesty, they're worn. They're worn the fuck out. And, I mean, you're playing against dudes who are much younger than you. And, I mean, they ain't got enough depth. And it all goes back to having depth. They don't have enough. They ain't got enough. They ain't had a quality big man center since Perkins. Since they traded Perkins away. Shaq.
Jeff, you didn't know what happened with Jeff. I mean, dude, if they had Jeff Green on the team, it'd be different. But,
unfortunately, that was
that ain't work out.
Thing that happened. Yeah, that was unfortunate. But
this game one, I mean, you if you picked them to win game 1 and you thought they'd come out, you already like they just it's over. I mean, remember it's one game.
Say it's over, but we'll see what happens. There were a lot of foul calls, a lot of questionable fouls that were called yesterday. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, Boston is gonna have to come out firing. They're gonna have to play like the Boston that we know they can, and play that gritty D that we're used to seeing them playing. That they were playing after the All-Star break. When they were getting on their little run, then they'll be all right. But if they play like yesterday and they ain't hitting shots and they're playing sloppy and throwing sloppy passes, and I mean, you cannot allow in playing no D. You can't let Dwayne Wade throw a full court pass to LeBron. You got, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, Rondo's trying to get the offensive rebound, and nobody covers his back. I mean, I think Paul Pierce is on Rondo too, but I think Paul Pierce has to come out.
I'm a
Celtic great. Like we need a good 28, 8 board, 6 assist game for Paul Pierce, and then help at least hold LeBron to like a bad shooting night, like 6 for 22 or something.
Ray, I'm talking to you, Ray. If you give me 12 points and hit 2 threes, that's a free throws. You're good. That's all I ask for. Just give me 12. Give me 12 points, dog. Give me double digits. Give me some points.
And somebody
can hit some threes, give me some points, stretch the floor a little bit, then all right. But otherwise, if you done, man. You done.
No, they need somebody else. They need somebody else. Either Wayne, even like you say, with your role players. Either Brandon Bass. I know Keon Doolin's been thrown in there to play some. You know, Michael Petras going to have – they really are going to have to clamp down and make it difficult on one of them two.
Yep.
You can't have both of them just kill. You just figure like, all right,
you gotta
I'm just going to take
– I mean, one of them going
to
go
off. One of them needs to have a bad night. It's not going to continue. I mean, they're killing. It's not going to continue. But for the Celtics, you need to make it stop tomorrow.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I heard the whole, you know, they need to put them on their ass and – nobody cares about that shit. That's what they should do. They go into the hole all day on you, getting uncontested shit, and they not really touch. They laying it up and getting dunks. You need to put them on their butt a little bit. You ain't got to aim for their head, which
take
you
make
play on the ball.
Celtic way.
Mm-hmm. Just like no eating, you ain't no easy basket. You make them earn it.
Nope.
Exactly. That's it. You don't go for the head and get them kicked out because you know that's what they gonna do. You know they up. That's how they save them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Hurt flagrant. We don't want none of that. Boston not have enough bodies for that. But just, you know, if you're going to go to the hole, use your fouls. Make them earn it.
Exactly.
And attack on the other end. Make them dudes work on the other end.
They just came out, and I just think, in all honesty, I just think they were worn out from the game sevens that they had to play in back-to-back series. So I think now, you know, they'll make their adjustments as necessary. And you know, they play Miami real well in the regular season. So, I mean, they've shown that they can beat them. It's not a secret.
Right. They have.
So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Boston. I got faith that Boston will pull it out.
Yeah, it should be a closer game. You know, hoping. It should be closer. Make it testing. You know, just keep it about 5-6 going into 5 minutes left in the fourth and, you know, make it closer. See if Miami is going to go back to their old ways and not being unsure.
Exactly.
We're going to take another break, you guys. You're listening to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
On guard. Bang, bang, it's a war of the hearts. We can either make love or we can spar. Either way, we hollering out good law. Either one don't solve the problem at all. Spend the first half trying to get it on. Spend the next half trying to get gone. What's wrong? Nothing at all. Watch your head, girl, that lie is too tall. Don't go effort, do what you want. I'm out the front door, I'm waiting on your call. Forgot it took place, remembering it all. Feel like forever, the moment's so small. Your eyes soft, you go hard. Your kiss warm, your cold heart. Fresh frost, I try to melt it all. Bags packed at home, looking lost. Tripping out, ending up where you start. Carousel at the merry-go-park. Pretty horse, let me off. Shed a tear, but I'm too tired to mourn. I do it tomorrow. When you're gone and you can't see me at all. Boulevard, love and hate, we at the cross. Buckle up, rough course. Taxi.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour with your hosts, Chris
and Jonathan.
Hope you guys been enjoying yourselves so far. Check us out again. You can find us at Black Is www.blackisonline.com. Just look up the Brothers Lehman. You can also email us at thebrotherslehman@gmail.com.
Hit us up.
So, talking about your old coach, Vinny Del Negro, bounced back, got brought back again with the Clippers for another year.
Yeah, it was bound to happen.
Yeah, there was some unsure. Do we want him back? Do they not want him back? You know, he was pretty good. He wasn't great, but he didn't suck either. Yeah, I think it's a pretty smart move. They've been doing pretty good. I mean, they had a nice record. Won what, 40 games, is it? I guess their best record ever as Clippers.
Damn, that should tell you something right there.
Yeah, they've been boo-boo for a while. But, I mean, they had low expectations coming in. And then all of a sudden, once Chris Paul got there, it was up, Western Conference Finals.
Best player in the league.
Yep, best player in the league, according to Jonathan. But, yeah, what do you think? Good move, not a good move?
If you look at where the Clippers are right now, I mean, I think it's a good move. You want to keep some kind of continuity. You know, with Chris Paul, the roster's pretty much going to stay the same. I'm not the biggest Vinny Del Negro supporter out there. I mean, he did a so-so job with the Bulls as far as I'm concerned. He's doing an all right job. I mean, considering everything he had to deal with this year, you know, put everything in perspective, he did a really good job. You know, he lost Billups for the rest of the year, that Achilles injury, which really hurt them. And then you had Chris Paul come in, and you brought in Kenyon Martin, and you brought in Nick Young, brought in all these new guys, so he had to integrate them into the offense. So, I mean, considering everything with no training camp and all that, he did a good job. Now, the expectations are going to go from way down here, though, to way up here. So, I mean, the only way I feel he'll be able to keep his job after next season, he's going to have to go to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, if he gets to the second round, that's all dandy, fine and dandy, but unless he gets to the Western Conference Finals with the team that they got, he won't be there next year. Plus, I mean, you look at the coaches that are out there, they're too expensive. You got Jerry Sloan, who's looking, you know, to go to the Bobcats and Orlando and all that. But Donald Sterling, I don't think, wants to spend all that money. And you got Stan Van Gundy, who's going to cost money. So, I mean, right now, you're looking at the coaches that are out there. I mean, it seems like the best move to make for the team.
I agree. I mean, there was no rush. I mean, you don't have Chris Paul, who's going to be a free agent after next season. So, you know, if Del Negro doesn't do a good job and Chris Paul or Blake Griffin don't feel like he's the guy, you can get rid of him versus trying to sign a coach now. And if it's not a good fit, then you're not going to want to eat the contract. Not if you're Donald Sterling. You're not going to want to eat that. And, you know, there was Mike McMillan out there, and I know the coach that Chris Paul had mentioned, he's green. You know, he hasn't been a coach before, so you just take your time. I don't think Van Gundy may just take a year off. You never know.
Yeah.
And, you know, some other options might come up. I mean, Scott Brooks is not under contract. I think next year is his last year. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But not too bad. Not too bad.
Now, with everything they got going on, do you think they'll be the best L.A. team here next year?
It depends on the moves they make. They're going to have to keep some pieces around. You know, what they're going to have to keep Reggie Evers or Kenyon Martin. Are they going to re-sign Nick Young, and can they afford him? What's Mo Williams going to do? He takes up a lot of cap. It's a lot. You've already signed DeAndre Jordan to, like, $40 million.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin's going to want money, but clearly he's not the max player yet. But you got to pay Chris Paul, and then you have them three who are your cornerstone. They just have to get better internally. The GM did some good moves. So Cleveland's on the rise. I'm liking what I'm seeing. Now, down the hall.
Clearing the team down on the fall.
Man, there's been talk, L.A. I mean, we all know we want, I like Pau Gasol, but they want him gone. Clearly, just both, everybody's bashing him, saying he's, I mean, Laker fans do not like him at all. It's like, this dude didn't help y'all win two championships?
Yeah, but, you know, it's always, you know, what have you done for me lately? And lately, he, you know, he ain't been the best of the best, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Pau Gasol. I think, personally, I think he's one of the better big men in the league. But, you know, if the Lakers want to get rid of him, hey, go ahead and get rid of him. See exactly what happens to your team next year without him.
Yeah, now there's all those little rumors that he said he wanted to go to Chicago. Do you What's the chance that you think is going to happen of a trade between Bulls and Lakers with Powell going to the Lakers? How much chance do you give that?
I give it a 0% chance, and I'll tell you why. I would love to have Paul Gasol, but the pieces that the Lakers would want for him, I'm not willing to give that up. You know, from what I heard, there was talk of a package around Luol Deng and Taj Gibson. I'm not giving up Luol Deng and Taj Gibson for Gasol. I'm sorry. Luol Deng, in my opinion, is way underrated. He does way too much for our team. And I ain't just giving him up for Paul Gasol. I'm sorry. I can't do that. I mean, Paul's a good player and all that, but I personally think he's a little bit more overvalued by the Lakers than the rest of the teams in the league, personally.
Who, Paul Gasol?
Oh, man, I'm hearing cats on the phone calling in on ESPN talking about, we trade Gasol, and we can get Kevin Martin and Kyle Lowry and Lewis Scola. It's like, dude, are you really going to get all that for Paul Gasol? We going to get Dang and Taj Gibson, and they going to give us what? We ain't going to give you nothing. We'll give you Boozer. I'll gladly give you Boozer. I'll give you Boozer. Give me Papa Boozer. I'll give you Boozer, but for Dang, no, I'm sorry. He does too much.
Yeah,
especially for the fact we're not going to have Derrick Rose to start the season. We can't give him up.
No, you
can't give him up.
It doesn't make any sense because you guys want Paul Gasol, clearly. You're not trying to give up. You want to give up Boozer. That's, of course, what you want to give up, but Lakers ain't taking it.
Nope.
It has to be like a Boozer, Richard Hamilton, but the Lakers don't want to take that. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't take it if I was the Lakers either. So, I mean, yeah, I agree. 0% chance. But he is going somewhere. I mean, I heard the Houston. I don't think you get Kevin Martin and, I mean, you can get, if you'd like to get something like a Scola and a Kyle Lowry, no, that'd be an awesome deal for the Lakers.
That'd be a great deal for the Lakers.
You got an above average, you got an all-star caliber point guard. You got a guy who probably would be okay being a number three in Louis Scola. He's a little more physical.
Yep.
And Paul Gasol, he can hit the jumper. And he'll fit in as a three versus, you know, Paul just sitting out on the wing because they didn't know how to use him. You know,
now, the big question is, what do you do with Mr. Immature Andrew Bynum?
Do you want Dwight Howard? That's not really solving anything to me. It's almost like you're moving up, but not a whole lot. I mean,
yeah.
Andrew Bynum can't. I mean, what's funny to me is the two big men who have the best chance now of being like really dominant centers, both have immature issues.
Yep.
With Andrew Bynum and DeMarcus Cousins, that's just funny to me. That's weird coincidence. But Andrew Bynum, you know, of course, the guy running the team, Jim Buss, is not getting rid of Andrew Bynum. Of course, we know Jim Buss is the one making all the decisions. Mitch Kupchak is getting a little pissed. That's why you hear all the rumors of him going to Orlando or maybe even Portland. You know, it's not he doesn't get to run the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate considering how much he's done for that franchise, bringing in Shaq, bringing in, you know. He worked well with Dr. Buss, but once Jim took over, I mean, he drafted Andrew, you know, so, I mean, he going to stick by him.
Yeah, we both argued the fact that when the Lakers went all in, let's I don't like all these Lakers fans acting like, people like, it ain't happened. 3 years ago when you were coming around, you was in trying to three-peat in your back-to-back. When you made the move for Ron Artest, everybody said it. We're going all in to win it now. It's all about now, winning now. As soon as Dallas kicked their ass and swept them, it was like, oh, now we too old. Let's get rid of everybody.
Yep.
Now, after the second time you've won one game, and I think around the last 2 years, there has to be some changes. Powell is gone.
I hate to say it, but the Lakers may suck for a couple of years. I mean, you look at their team.
Well, their definition. Well, for the Lakers' definition.
For the Lakers' definition of sucking, excuse me. But they have no trade value. I mean, yeah, you have Bynum. But at the same time, once again, I think Bynum will be too overvalued by the Lakers, and they're going to want the moon for him.
He's different.
When you're trading, and it happens all the time in the league, when you're trading a superstar, you're not going to get equal value for him. That's a given. You're never going to get equal value, you know, for a superstar player or a star player. Maybe you're, you know, pretty good players. Yes, you can get equal value. But when you're talking about it, like a star, superstar type of player, you're never going to get equal value for that, for what that player brings to the table. So, you know, you got Bynum as a trade chip. You know, you have Gasol, but at the same time, it's like Gasol's older. You know, he's making a lot of money. So you have to keep that in consideration as well. You got Artest, who nobody wants.
Nope.
You got Kobe, who y'all ain't trading. You got Sessions, who ain't got no value. You got Barnes, who ain't got no value. And then the rest of the team I don't even need to talk about. You traded away all your first round picks for the next, I don't know how many years they traded them away for.
Years.
So you can't get no youngsters in the draft. So I mean you're stuck for a while. You're over the luxury tax. I mean the Lakers are in a bad situation. They went all in, you know, and this is what tends to happen when you go all in like that. You put all the money in, and then eventually when it stops working, you're screwed because you can't do it. You're stuck. You can't do nothing. You ain't got no money. You got no flexibility. Can't do anything. And everybody's talking about, well, when we trade and get Deron Williams, it's like, look, dude, you're not getting Deron Williams. Let's just be real. Let's just keep this real. You ain't trading Bynum for Deron Williams. You gonna want Deron Williams and Brook Lopez and some picks, and it's like, dude, they're not giving you all that. Secondly, I heard somebody on the radio today talking, ooh, trade Powell for Deron Williams. Dude, you're not getting Deron Williams for Paul Gasol. Let's just keep it real. You are not getting Deron Williams. You're not getting arguably the best point guard in the league, even though he's not. Arguably the best point guard in the league for Paul Gasol. Not happening. Not happening. The closest, I think, if you Laker fans are really adamant about getting a really good point guard, you will trade Bynum if you can and try to get a package around Rajon Rondo. Or you try to trade Gasol for Rondo if that happens to work. But I ain't trading Rondo for Paul Gasol anyway, so.
Nah, man. He's – Paul Gasol, I mean, he has – you. The best team to take him will be a team that's trying to win. You know, he just – the offense wasn't tailored for Paul Gasol anymore. And when Andrew Bynum finally stayed healthy and is starting to show his potential as he can be a top – as the best big man in the game, Paul Gasol just didn't – it didn't fit. It's hard to have two really good post players on the same team. Very.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got Kobe – and you got Kobe playing in the post.
Your team
and you
made
got
it hard, though, didn't they? When they was repeating – with the Admiral, with the Twin Towers.
Yeah, but it that worked differently because you clearly had one guy who could spread the floor in Dave Robinson, who could shoot the jumper and could score from everywhere. But he was able to rebound and play defense.
Yeah.
Bynum did that, seemed reluctantly, during Phil Jackson's time.
Yeah.
But this season, now he gets to score and be he's the man. Now Paul Gasol is number three.
Yeah.
Y'all remember when they asked Kobe where his place was and he was like waiting in line behind me and Gasol? That is gone. Now
yeah.
Bynum is the number two clearly in Mike Brown's system. Paul Gasol does not play very well in isolation type systems. He's a good passer. He needs a team like the Spurs who like to move the ball around, not the, you know, ISO. Let's hold it. Let's watch Kobe shoot.
Could you imagine? That would piss me off more than anything in the world. If the Spurs just happened to get Paul Gasol, I would say, you know what? This is some bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know how we give it. I don't know how that would happen. It'd be hard just because of that money. But for them couple years, I mean, the Lakers, I understand. Lakers went all in, were the most expensive team in the league. And now that super tax is here, it's the shit out of them, and they having to cut costs. You know, look what happened with the Yankees. It was all Yankee spin, Yankee spin, Yankee spin. As soon as Steinbrenner was gone, they were like, "We're pulling that back.
Yep,
we can't do that. That is costing too much money because you have to win every year, and then win a lot. Like you have to win the championship because if you don't, it's expensive. Even if you win a championship, that's still a lot of damn money.
Yeah.
Now they trying to get rid of as much as they can.
Which is exactly why y'all ain't getting. Do not expect the Lakers to get any mega superstars, people. Just think, just money wise, it's just not gonna happen.
Not at all.
Ain't gonna happen.
And what I understand, tomorrow is the draft lottery. We get to see who gets the number one pick.
We gonna see who gets to take Mr. Davis from Kentucky. We all know who's going number one. Hey man, I really hope. I really hope, because I like MJ. I hope the Bobcats get the number one pick. They need a center, and they need a big dude. They just, and in all honesty, they need some fan support. So, I mean, you know, Jordan's been criticized and crapped on for all his draft picks in the past. So, I mean, you got the clear cut. You got this clear cut who number one pick who everybody has rated is just the dude to take. And if, in all honesty, if Charlotte does not get the number one pick, that shit is rigged.
If Charlotte does not?
If they don't get the number one pick, they were terrible.
The worst record hasn't won the lottery since 2004?
Good Lord.
I'm telling you, who was that? Was that the LeBron James year?
I enjoy the lottery. I really do. I enjoy the concept of the lottery, but at the same time, I'm starting to get to a point where we need to get to where
the bad
how kind of football
team.
Is where you, the worst teams pick first. I mean, let's just be real. If Charlotte gets like the number five pick, it's like, oh my god, really? They're gonna suck again for a whole nother year.
No, the worst they can get is the fourth. But the problem is though, with the way, at least with football, usually once you get the number one pick, you change up and you're not the worst team in the league anymore. I can totally see Charlotte getting, well, Charlotte gets the number one pick in that scenario and it sucks again and they get the number one pick again. You can be like, that ain't fair, because you know teams will do that. They'll be like, oh, we suck. And then we really gone. That's the one thing I do like about having a lottery is you can't tank. You can't be like, well, they just lose. That way they got the – yeah, I'm like, yeah, you get more balls, but that don't mean you getting it. That's what I like, because you know teams will be like, all right, you know what, we're like halfway through the season. We only won 9 games. Let's stop.
Yeah.
Let's pull out it. Let's – all our 8th, 9th, 10th player on the bench, come on, you play. Who would not care? You're like, I'm tanking. Like, oh shit, LeBron coming out? I'm sucking. Like, if you knew, all right, we going in and you got a stud dude who's like, he's coming out in the draft. Oh, we suck and we need that guy. All right, let's just turn away.
At the same time, though, you have your conspiracy theories. Like, even myself as a Bulls fan, it's like, okay, the Bulls happened to get the number one pick that year. Derrick Rose is from Chicago, okay? LeBron James is from Cleveland, from Akron. They just happened to get the number one pick.
But you could argue the fact the same thing with the Spurs.
Happened to get the number one pick.
But if it was a conspiracy, he would have gone to Boston.
Come on.
You don't, like, the team, like, yo, we're going to send a clear consensus number one, like, you don't get dudes like that. It's like Shaq. When you get one of the players like, this dude is going to be a beast. Where do we put him at? And you stick him, you put him in the biggest, if he's going to cheat, you put him in the biggest market. That's why, with the whole Patrick Ewing thing, he went to the Knicks. Right? He went to New York City.
Yeah, conspiracy.
Okay, I'll tell you what's up. You want no conspiracy? Like, if New Jersey gets the number one pick. Like, to me, I ain't gonna lie. I want MJ to get it just for the fact that he can have another number one pick under his belt. And this one is easy.
No, give him another chance.
Yeah, but this
give
one's
him
easy.
Another chance.
I ain't gonna say that was a bust year.
Yeah.
That was a bust year. You got a legit big dude who you know is at least gonna be he's gonna be a solid guy.
He's
may
be a
not
good
be
defender at least.
Yeah. This is a building block for the future.
Yeah, Bismack Biyombo. Sorry, brother.
I'm talking out of all these teams. I don't know, because he could go with, you know, what if the Wizards get it? If the Wizards get it, that's nice. If the Wizards get
with
it,
with him and John Wall, that would be a nice little tandem.
And he gets Nene there, they'll feel a little better.
Yeah.
He goes to Cavaliers. They on the upswing. We'll see what happens. It's always fun. It's always nerve wracking. My teammate is never in it.
Yeah.
But it's always drama. That's why I like it. Like, who's going to... Because you look, and if you're going to wait till you get to the number four, and the number four team is the Charlotte Bobcats, you're going to be like, damn.
And then I'm that's exactly what I'm going to say. Damn.
And it's going to be some, like, the Warriors will get the number one pick, and they move. See, how about that conspiracy? The Golden State Warriors get the number one pick, and they move into Frisco. Bow.
Hey, if that happens, that's a conspiracy through and through.
And then I called it.
Through and through. Through and through. You got Andrew Bogut already, and now you just – let's just bring Davis off the bench.
Yep, and David Lee.
And David
Lee. And hopefully Stephen Curry. Hopefully we can stay healthy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord.
Anyway, y'all, we hope you enjoyed this latest episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour.
Thank you for joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. For the Brothers Layman Sportscast Happy Hour, we'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
All right, everybody take care. Have a good evening.
I love you.